When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey everybody, just wanted to give you a quick heads up. This was originally supposed to be a one-part episode on Storytone, but we had Joel on from the Neil Young Canadian Posting Facebook page, as you'll find out, and as you probably already know from the title of this episode. But we had so much fun that we ended up splitting this into two parts. I don't know where I'll end up splitting it, but I just wanted to let you know we had a ton of fun recording this one. Joel makes all the Neil Young memes that you see and that we share on Facebook, and I think bleeds over onto Instagram. Great dude. He runs another Neil Young podcast. It's in French. It's called Don't Be Denied. And if you're a French-speaking person, definitely check it out. Great dude. Great conversation. Talked about Neil way more than we normally do, which is great. For if you're into that sort of thing, which you are because you listen to this podcast. But anyway, here's part one of our conversation with Joel about story tone. Hope you enjoy.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we hear you.
All right, cool. I just reset up all my stuff.
Turn yourself up a little bit.
How about that?
Better.
Yeah, better. Better?
Yeah.
Sweet. What do we got here? Don't look, shoe.
Oh, you guys, why do you guys drink like pussies? Why?
Actually, this one's pretty good. Look at this.
You drink like female disc golfers.
It's a strawberry hibiscus.
Oh, Jesus. Here, I'm just having iced tea tonight because I'm taking it easy.
Nice. Strawberry hibiscus margarita style.
This one's iced tea made in Ireland.
I think you'd like this, Joe.
Probably not. Or maybe if I used it as a mixer. Yeah. Might go good with my whiskey.
Mike, we're drinking like Disney princesses because this album is clearly built around Disney princesses.
Oh, then I should have made something special.
We have a lot to talk about, boys.
There's a ton.
How much are we covering? We should. Yeah, are we doing it at all?
Because I listened to all three of them, and so then I just took so much time to listen to the solo stuff and the orchestral stuff back to back.
Yep.
Well, and then you didn't even need to because Mixed Pages is a perfect way
if you would think, right? But not really.
Real quick, just so we can kind of gauge where we all are, rank them best to worst. Solo,
Mixed Pages is my favorite by far.
Oh, see, I think Solo.
100%.
Solo. He should have just released the solo tracks.
100%.
I originally thought that, but then after like doing some research and stuff, for what he was going for, I think he should have just released Mixed Pages.
Yeah.
Really?
I got words for Mixed Pages because some of it's good, but it was frustrating to listen to.
Solo if he just did the solo thing, I think this is a really great record.
Oh my God, it's so good.
And I don't know why he does anything. He's fucking Neil. He's, you know, I'm not going to claim to know.
Right.
But he's
questioning that.
Yeah. He's getting into a new relationship with, you know what? We got Joel joining us in about 20 minutes.
Yeah, so we're going to talk Storytone.
We should save some of this.
The world's biggest Storytone fan, Joel Desmaris Racine, who you've seen his work all over Facebook. The man's an artist.
He's going to come in hot, he said. He's coming in hot.
Man's an artist.
He is. And he's the French-Canadian meme master.
You know what? I think we ruined his Neil Young meme page.
Why?
Because before us, he just made funny Neil Young memes that every Neil Young fan would get. And now
now it's getting a little esoteric.
They're
right?
So meta. Talking about
my favorite by far is the cover of Everybody's Rocking with Roker's head over Neil's. That's the best. That's my I want to make that into a t-shirt
or like
Everybody's Roker.
He made
so
one
good.
Did you see the one he just made with it's Daryl Hannah from Kill Bill, her snake character, and then he photoshopped her onto Look at Chubbs from Happy Gilmore, And he just wrote, "It's all in the hips, the Midnight Snake hips."
Oh my God, that's brilliant. Shit, I haven't seen that.
He's already here. Let's just bring him in. You know what?
Yeah, let's bring in Joel.
All right, here we go. There he is.
Bobby, stop dancing now.
God damn it, Bobby.
Hi.
Hey. I don't know you. Give me back my purse.
Okay, Ed, just a minute.
Nerdity. That's my favorite shoe when he's going through Bobby's stuff and he finds the Barbie. Yes. He's like, nudity.
So there he is, Joel.
Hey, Joel, what's here. Up?
What's up, Joel?
Hi, guys. Oh, man.
What's up?
How's it going?
Fine. It just got off work.
Nice.
Awesome. Well, thanks for joining us, man.
Do you work in propane? Is that why you had a King propane, of the Hill avatar?
Propane accessories.
No, I wish. I work in a drugstore.
Ooh, Mike's listening.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
This is our Neil Young podcast, where we mostly talk out of our ass while going through the works of Mr. Young. It's Mike Hsu and the Condon Boys, Trans and Harvest and Linois. We're gonna sit and listen to each one. It's Long May You Young.
Welcome to Long May You Young, one of two Neil Young podcasts that we know about on the planet. My name is Mike Hsu, and along with Luke and Russ Condon from the band Town Meeting, we're covering Neil Young's musical output album by album in order. And then we do extra stuff. We've done some interviews. We talk about his films. We have a Patreon. You can find us at Long May You Young on Instagram and also Twitter. And we have a very active Long May You Young Facebook page, which the gentleman who joins us now does the other Neil Young podcast that we know about. Don't Be Denied.
Yeah,
and the only one.
The only other one.
The only other one in French.
In French. Yes. So yeah. So if you don't know French, we're still your only choice, and we're not apologizing for that.
I feel like Joel should give all our listeners, all our youngsters, a welcome in French.
Yes.
Bonjour, fan de Long May You Young.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
That was beautiful.
Just so you know, the message I sent you during Christmas was all cursing words in French.
Was it really?
Yeah,
that's great.
But not against you. It was like these guys are fucking great and
oh, all right.
They're the shit, and we have a lot of colorful words in French Canada to curse.
Oh, give me a good one.
Tabarnak, calice, Chris, hostie.
What is
those are all words that they use in the church in the 50s and 60s, and now we sort of took them for ourselves and use it in everyday situation, like tabarnak is a motherfucker.
Oh.
Nice. How do you say it again?
Tabarnak.
Tabarnak.
Oh, I'm definitely remembering that. Next time I'm at the Acadia Club in Gardner, I'm going to whip that one out after a few beers.
Hold on. When Russ does it, Russ just sounds like he's from Mars Attacks when he tries it.
Tabarnak.
Yak, yak, yak. Make me be your political leaders.
What are you drinking, Joel?
I'm drinking Pilsner.
There we go.
I think it's a Canadian beer.
Nice.
Me and Russ are both drinking some fruity seltzers because we're feeling like Disney princesses after diving into this album.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. And I'm drinking whiskey so I can just forget most of the grand orchestration that went on during this album.
Did you listen to all three versions of that album?
Yes. Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
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 God. We didn't talk about it beforehand, which we should have. So luckily, all of us just did that anyway.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I also watched yesterday the film on the archives.
I didn't see that.
You sent me that, but I didn't even know it existed.
It's horrible looking. God.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like he's still using that handy cam he used for the Muddy Track video in the 80s. You know, it's like it's on VHS or something.
I think he's filming monitors. It looks like he's filming security cams or something. It's a weird choices.
Yeah. Well, it's the typical Neil
fucking
lo-fi.
Neil, man. Fucking yeah. Neil, man.
Fucking Neil lo-fi.
Say what you will about Daryl Hannah, but she's a better filmmaker than Bernie Shake.
So, Joel, you listen to all three and watch the video. Right before you hopped on, we were kind of quickly ranking the solo, the full orchestra, and then the mixed version. Where does that line up for you?
I think the orchestral is the worst one, definitely.
Yeah, I agree.
The mix maybe it's a mixed feeling, in between, and the solo is the better one.
I agree.
And it's not great. It's not shitty. Like for me, the worst of Neil Young is still better than the best of Maroon 5.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. Yeah. Actually, oh yeah, 100% agree with that.
Absolutely.
Hey Daryl, I got them moves like Jagger.
Hey, also, hey Daryl, again, this is the one about you. We got to the one that is about you.
Yeah. We've entered the Daryl era.
Hey, Daryl, we're into the Daryl verse.
Did you see? Did you guys read the Pitchfork review of this?
I read a bunch of them.
It was stupid, but they did make the "a man needs a mermaid" joke, and I really
oh yes,
it,
you know? Yes, I did read that. Yeah,
that was great.
Very good.
Yeah. Joel, well, before we go on, can we just let people know in case they haven't figured out who Joel is, since we talk about him all the time. So Joel, you do a Neil Young podcast called Don't Be Denied. And now, how do you do yours? Like, we were covering album by album, and we just drink copious amounts of alcohol and get really shitty about it. But how do you do your podcast?
Yeah, and Joel, did you hear when we read the from Nick Ding Dong?
Nick Ding Dong.
Yeah.
And I can assure you that's not my mother. But thanks to Nick Ding Dong, it was very nice. Very nice commentaries. Just want to clarify when he say that I think the song
the Neil's voice is the old laughing lady.
I know the song is not about that. In my podcast I say the song is about many people in kind of like a village. He's meeting all those people, and it's a metaphor for death and life and all those things. And after that, I said, I always thought that the title sounds like his voice. Mm. So it's kind of a good parallel, I think.
Oh, yeah. Like the title, like an old laughing lady. That's gotcha. Yes. But you're not saying every verse. You're saying that each verse is to the particular thing that you might perceive it to be. The
yeah,
alcoholism, like we talked about, or you said that one of those verses was, what was that? The one you said, now I'm drawing a blank. But then, death as one of them. And,
right.
But yeah, so you're just saying that it kind of is like, the title seems to, like, works in that way. But yeah, it's not for everything. Yeah.
It was like a funny perspective to me.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
So, and yes, my show, I don't speak English very often. I understand everything, but the speaking part of it, I don't do that often. I've been to the U.S. Like 2 times in my life, and every time it was New York. So
okay.
The way I do my show, it's in chapters like a book. I'm currently at chapter 4. And I cover periods like the first chapter was his birth to 68, and the second was 68 to 70, and now I the last chapter was 70 to 72, and now the next one I'm gonna call it the Ditch Trilogy. So I'm gonna do 73 to maybe early 74. I don't think I can cover all 73 and
that's a big time. That's a busy time. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, that's the best of some, arguably the best time too. You know.
Right. Yeah.
So I think I'm gonna stop just maybe at the beginning of the on the beach sessions.
Yeah.
And I'm doing it chronologically. So I'm gonna do tonight's the night before the on the beach because it makes more sense to me.
Oh wow!
The way you did it.
Oh nice. Cool. Okay. Yeah.
This is making me long for those albums to take
right?
time.
Yeah. Oh, we just subjected ourselves to three different versions of Storytone. So who wouldn't want a little Tonight's the Night after that, right?
I will say, and again we'll bounce all over the place. But if he had just released the solo version, I think I would have, and I do have fond things to say about this album. I think it's well written. I think he gets the point across on a lot of stuff, and it's. I don't know. I really, for the most part, enjoy the solo version. He just loses me with the big band stuff. And I don't begrudge him. He's Neil. Like we've said in the past, like I think Russ said it in the past, like Spielberg, he doesn't have to do anything. He's just doing what he wants to do. And he recorded that in the same studio that they did The Wizard of Oz. He sang into Barbara Streisand's mic. So it's like a cool,
you're right.
He's probably got a cool vibe doing it, but, it just didn't connect with me as much.
Well, he wanted to kind of recreate those old Sinatra albums with Sinatra in the same room as the orchestra.
Right. With him singing live.
Yeah.
And the orchestra there. And I think he
playing around him.
Really liked that vibe. Like I think he really, truly.
Well, he said it was like one of the most thrilling moments.
I can imagine.
Yeah. I can imagine that too. Like he said like the sound of 92 musicians playing as I was singing was thrilling. So of course the feeling it was really good.
It's probably awesome.
With a lot of things, and you guys are musicians, so it may feel really good while you're creating it, and then the next day you wake up and you put that, you know, whatever tape or you listen to that file, and you're like, oh,
yeah, absolutely, and also Luke and I, Town Meeting has played with an orchestra before.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and
it was cool.
I would say that when we were like rehearsing, that was a really cool vibe, like being in the studio room. With all the, you know, all the musicians playing and us playing and it like being together. Then when it happened live, it was.
I thought it was still cool.
It was cool. It was good, but it was a much different experience.
It's also, and again, this is just a youth orchestra. So in Maine, they have the Maine Youth Rock Orchestra and they played with Guster. They played with a bunch of like bigger bands. But it makes you realize. Like anything makes me realize how much better I could be. And I don't like I can't read music and he's like, everyone to this page. And it was cool to see like one of Russ's songs, they had made sheet music and it would have been useless to us. I can't read.
Yeah. We wouldn't have known what to do with looking at it on a paper, you know?
Yeah.
But I mean, Paul McCartney is the same way. So fuck it.
Paul McCartney can't read music.
Uh-uh. None of the Beatles.
Really?
Did. I don't think
and
so.
And who was the guy Beatles? That was most open? Maybe to like George
maybe
Martin
George, yeah, yeah. But yeah.
Well, George, yeah, George can. I mean, he studied classical music. He recorded.
No. I was talking about George Harrison.
Oh, George Harrison. Oh, yeah. Fuck.
I don't know.
After watching Get Back, he's my least favorite Beatle.
What?
Seriously, he's so whiny. He was just a bit whiny. And I, you know, I understand the reasons why he was whiny, but after a while, it's like we get it. Okay.
He was fed up.
Oh yeah.
All that shit and.
Yeah, I get it. But
we
you know what?
We can't do this if we go down this.
we're fucking done,
and we already have because I've got so many opinions. Because I know Luke and I both feel like Ringo is the goddamn star of that
game. Yeah, kind of.
Oh yeah, man. Ringo was literally the anchor.
Ringo that
the
I hope
and the anchor.
I hope that everyone came out of watching that being like, you know what, fucking Ringo deserves all the praise, man. Yes, he was a goddamn trooper.
It turned me on Ringo like in a good way. Russ, turn your mic down the tiniest bit.
Yeah, I know. I feel like I'm spiking a little bit or something.
So do you guys want to get into talking about Storytone?
Yeah, we should probably talk about it as a general, which mm-hmm. we've already sort of dipped into.
Right.
And maybe we do song by song and talk about each version. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I've written down stuff about each version. Same. And the ones that I think are better.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, we just go song by song and be like, I like this, what I like of this version of it. And then we talk about each version of each song maybe. And then generally each album, you know,
see, much like the Beatles, Joel, we do everything in the studio. And I just did compared not,
we,
us to the Beatles.
We don't have this figured out at all.
Well, this would have, the thing is also we would have figured this out and then none of us would have remembered it. You know, it doesn't matter.
Right. Yeah.
Before we do that though, I do want to just say, you know, I'm beating a dead horse here, but we have a Patreon. If you go to Patreon,
oh yeah, we have responsibilities.
/ Long May You Young. You can get bonus episodes and all kinds of stuff. But I did want to read a few comments. Last week we released bonus episode number 6, Archives Volume 1 / Disc 3, Live at the Riverboat, and people were commenting on it. But Mike, this one I liked.
Oh boy,
Ricky Harvey wrote, "Thanks."
Oh,
for
Ricky Harvey.
She wrote, "Thanks for another bonus episode, even though you think we are dopes for paying for this."
Well, people that listen to the regular podcast are youngsters. People that pay for it are suckers. That's what I'm going to call them.
No, but you know why we say that, Ricky, is because we all have like,
wait, you know what?
Shoot,
are they blood suckers? Just like Neil?
Oh, yeah. There is a vampire reference in this album I'm excited to get to.
But no, Ricky, we only say that because our self-esteem is terrible and we can't imagine anyone wanting to pay to listen to us.
And we love you, Ricky. She's been there since the very beginning.
Yes.
Yeah. And we appreciate you listening this whole time.
But then she goes on to say, "Loved the beatbox," which I forgot we did. And then,
oh my God, that's right.
Then she writes, "Sorry, but I also love I've loved her so long and have since the first time I ever heard it."
Oh boy.
So. Yeah, Shu, you don't like that song. I like that song.
No, that was my cut tune, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
I like this song too. Did you hear the version Neil did with Graham Nash at the Greek Theater in 69?
No.
Nash is on the back vocals. This is gorgeous. This is
I loved her so long?
Yeah, I loved her so long. Yeah. Where
do you find that?
I think it's on the archives. I think but it's not a soundboard take. It's like a muddy soundboard tape, but it's very, very gorgeous.
Well, one thing we have learned is that when Neil does something with Graham, just Graham, it sounds fucking beautiful.
Yeah, like that version of Birds is so beautiful. Yeah.
Luke, am I supposed to share my screen and do that whole thing?
Yeah, but not just yet.
Okay.
But, and Joel literally commented on that because Joel is a patron. Thank you, Joel.
Yeah.
But he wrote about that version. And then this was related more to a letter home, but Slynn, wrote, "A few years ago, I saw Al Caprillion working at the Macy's in the Mall of New Hampshire."
My God. Oh, really? Like a few years ago?
I don't believe that.
Is he not on TV anymore?
He must not be working at the Macy's.
That hurts my heart.
We need to get to the bottom of it.
We should start a Kickstarter for him.
We should get Al on the show then.
Yeah.
We should see if I can get him on the show.
Joel has no idea with this.
Joel, Al Caprillion is one of the greatest. I mean, Al Roker is a hack compared to Al Caprillion. Okay. The man has more personality in his little finger than Roker or Stills ever will.
Is he also a weatherman?
Yes, he's the best weatherman I've ever seen.
I would say he's the world's weatherman, if I'm being honest.
Well, let's not get misguided here.
We do have two new patrons. So thanks to Peter Franz and Mike Thomas for joining the crew here. And as always, we're going to thank our old silver gold level patrons, Craig Bitch.
Thank you, Craig.
Craig Bitch. Every time I see that name, I get a notification from Patreon and my phone says Craig Bitch commented, I'm like, yes.
Oh, my God. Thank
you so
much. It's so
funnier every time. John Locke, who just messaged us. He's coming to our show, Russ, this weekend to the Boston show. It'll be pumped.
Nice.
Oh, what are you playing in Boston?
Aeronaut in, I think it's in Everett, not Boston.
Oh, the Aeronaut Brewery?
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice. That's a good place.
And then Mark Ray. We should talk to him again because I would be curious to this album made me think more about Neil's car ironically, him doing one song about saving the earth and banning
fracking. Oh, I wrote that down too. And then the literal next song is him being like, I got to find oil. Yeah. I want to just drive forever.
I got some thoughts on that.
Well, I know. I do too. Like that, yeah. I think he did it on purpose too.
But yeah, so thanks to those patrons. And then just real quick on Facebook, I posted the album and we got a few comments. One was Joel saying, today we ask how much story tone is too much story tone.
I know, right? Oh my God.
And I just posted it, so there won't be a ton, but,
also we had told people like to email us. And then did you guys see that email from Fred EB?
No.
Melvin J. Watt, someone in Nolens who wants to send us swag.
Oh yeah. I did see that email. And I think I brought it up on the last one.
What kind of swag are we talking about?
I don't know, but they want to send us some swag. Maybe we can get him to send Joel some swag too. He's got a Neil Young podcast. He deserves swag too.
Yeah, Mike, we should send Joel. Yeah, definitely.
Mike, he wants to send us beads, but you know what you got to do for those.
Well, I've lost weight, so I'm down from a B to an A cup. He might be disappointed.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And then the only other comment so far was John Locke, who said, just fired it up, and now I remember why I don't remember it.
Oh, jeez.
But then he said, edit, forgot to ask, are you doing the solo version or the Phil Spector version? We're doing all
we
of the
We listen
versions.
To all of them.
All of the versions.
We're just going to cover all of them in this, right? We're not going to bother doing...
We'll go as we go along song to song.
Sure. Yeah, we don't have we'll to play...
But what I'm saying is, like, yeah. We're not going to... We're not... When we... Because when we get to when he released Mixed Pages, we're not going to, like, cover Mixed Pages.
No, we're doing that now, I thought.
That's what I'm saying.
Hit all three versions at once.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't have... spoiler alert, there's no version that's not the solo version that I like the best. I like all of the solo versions the best, personally.
Okay.
So...
I mean, I'd say mostly yeah. But I do have a couple that I do like the orchestra stuff.
Yeah, I actually... There's a couple of orchestra Me or too. Big band arrangements that I do like.
But I like the Mixed Pages. Like, I think there's a few of the Mixed Pages that I think work really well.
Right. Well, let's get into it, shall we? Yeah, are we done with social media and...
Yeah, also, Joel, I think you missed it, but we made sure right off the top that we complimented your meme artistry.
Yes. Oh, my God, Joel. And, yeah.
And we also apologized because Luke was saying that you had that page... And it was just general Neil memes.
That real Neil fans would get, like, across the board.
But now it's sort of like the Long May You Young.
Yeah. It's the official meme page of your podcast.
That's awesome.
And sometimes the jokes are just for the listeners and the youngsters. So layered.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
I like how you say sometimes it's like 85% of them.
Dude, the Roker on the Everybody's Rocking album cover is my favorite.
That's so good.
That's right up there with Sarah Lynn putting a fedora on a sperm.
Oh, that's
back
right.
In the early days, which was fantastic.
It's just so fun to listen to your show and doing memes at the same time.
Right.
Today I'm gonna take a break because I don't want to miss any of the conversation. But be sure I'm gonna be aware of every.
Yeah, you'll go over to the side, take a note, and be like, oh, I gotta make that a meme. Yeah. Yeah, fuck yeah, let's get into it. So
All right. We
already mentioned the whole, there was a good article, I think you read from it, Luke, or maybe it was you, Shu, but the...
The Pitchfork one?
No, not the Pitchfork one, but when he talked about going into the studio and the whole, like, Wizard of Oz, Barbra Streisand vibe and that whole thing. I have it on Thrasher's Wheat, which became part of...
Well, no, Thrasher's Wheat... is still its own thing.
Yeah. It's still its own thing, but on the archives. Still,
right. It was, I think, no, yeah, Thrasher's Wheat, right? That's the really huge one that's been going on for a long time. Yeah. There was another one that he kind of, that they absorbed into Neil Young Archives. I forget what that was called right away.
Yeah.
Thrasher's Wheat just started, they call it Thrasher's Wheat Radio, but it's basically a podcast.
So yeah. Yeah, so that might be another Neil Young podcast. We have to investigate that.
Yeah, we'll
figure that one's, that one's in Slovakian. So, good luck with that.
I bet you that, and I love Thrasher's Wheat. I go to them a lot, but I bet you that podcast is very, like, on 19... 19- 68.
You mean like accurate and
yes. Good.
Right. Yeah.
But right. Now that we're teaming up, maybe we'll have to beat those guys.
Yes.
Yeah, there
just,
you go.
Just no, we're not going to beat anybody. We all love Neil. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. I like this. I like it splitting into fractions.
It's Let's the Rocks Back Pages guys you got to watch out for. They're the ones that are, they're like the Cobra Kai of the Pantheon Podcast Network. All right. They strike Barney first, Fife. No mercy. Yeah. You know, John Kreese is their producer. So, you know.
But the solo one, I mean, Nico Bolas again.
Right. Yeah.
And Al Schmidt. I don't know if I know him.
He used to be the brewer of Schmidt's Gay beer. I don't know if you remember that.
I do remember
Chris
that.
Farley was in that commercial.
Yeah,
it was great. Yeah, this is well, let's just do a little background on it. So this came out in 2014. This was like, I think, Joel, check me on this, 6 months after A Letter Home, I think.
Maybe I'm not.
Yeah, it was really aware. a short period of time.
Yeah, yeah.
After A Letter Home, not like A Letter Home took a lot of time to record, as you can tell, but so there was also a lot going on in his life at this point. As you know, as we mentioned before, his marriage with Peggy was breaking up. He was starting to see Daryl Hannah. There was the big Pono push at this time to get funding.
Yeah.
He fell in love with the actress.
He literally again fell in love with the actress. Right.
So Letter Home was,
Letter Home, I believe, was like the spring,
release date.
Like
release date was 4/22,
right,
2014, and story tone was 11/04/2014.
Right, so just not that long.
Not long at all.
This is also when he started getting heavily involved in the Keystone Pipeline issue,
which I love that he
protesting
did.
Keystone Pipeline and getting involved with the Native Canadian community.
That's where he met Daryl.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
At Greenpeace. Yeah.
He met her in 2013, so there's a possibility that he began his affair with her before divorcing Peggy. Oh. So there's that also. It's kind of sketchy.
Right.
Well, because they went on that long, they went on that road trip in his link vault or whatever. So
he actually mentions that in the one of the or a couple of the songs, like meeting her, you know, right up front in the first tune. He kind of alludes to that also. Yeah.
Before we talk about the production, let's just talk about the overall themes of the of this album, which kind of left me at first when I heard this in 2014. I was maybe not so down on it because so many factors. So here's my hot take on this album. This sounds like you're 65-year-old dad just divorced your mom out of the blue, and now he's at the Thanksgiving table and he's smooching all over his new girlfriend, and it's gross, and it's
wait, hold on, Joel, is Neil Young your dad?
Yeah, we find out. Yeah.
You'll never be my mom.
He's a strange son.
Hey, Joel, what are you doing in there?
Yeah, he calls from downstairs, upstairs there.
But that's a good point because my dad introduced me to Neil, so I always saw him like kind of like a father figure. Because
yeah,
this just it goes on together so well. I've been listening to this man's music for 20 years, and my dad is also a big Neil Young nerd, so now the old Neil Young is kind of like a father figure to me. And when he divorced Peggy, of course it's his life, we don't want
absolutely
do yeah, whatever he wants. Yeah, it's not our fucking business. But his earlier album about where he sings about love and was so well documented, so we knew every details about everything. So we read through that in the songs. There's not many books about Neil Young's life after the early 2000s. So there's just Waging Heavy Peace, his book, And he's not reveling so much in that.
Right.
So well, we have to assume what happens, but it feels very sudden, and it feels very cold, even I think Peggy was was surprised by the divorce. So, I'm not that down with Neil Young's in love, and I have to accept his new girlfriend like that, and just believing in all those and I all this those is, beautiful. This is how he said.
This is how I know Joel's a way bigger Neil fan than I am, and that he has been forever, is because he's saying this like my daughter would be like, can you believe what Pete Davidson did to Kim Kardashian? Like, he's that's how invested he is. Yeah. So he's like, what? Daryl Hannah? What? Like, which I love.
if you read the lyrics of some of the tunes, it sounds like Peggy had it with him. That's what it sounds like. Yeah, of course, that's Neil's side.
Again, that's Neil's.
And I'm sure, you know what? They were together for what, 35 years?
Yeah,
and I'm sure living with Neil Young's not easy.
No.
Do you think like you used to do? Is that about Peggy? You think?
Yeah. I think maybe it's the only one about her, and it's brutal.
Yeah. I actually, you know, besides the environmental statements he makes, I actually labeled my notes Daryl's song, Peggy song. On here.
Yeah.
Because you could just tell.
Yeah.
And actually, he did come out with another book around this time, Joel, called, let's see here. I have it written down here somewhere.
The cars and the dogs. Yes, and
it's Special Deluxe. Special and it's Deluxe, about the cars that he's had and how they related to the points in his life.
And also the dogs that he had.
Are the dogs in there too?
Yeah. It's the cars and the dogs.
Right. So, you know, he did have that book out at this time, but like some of these songs, the way he describes what was going on with Peggy, it seemed like that it was a lost cause, but that's Neil's side.
Right.
You know? Of course, I don't want to be intruding in his life. He does whatever the fuck he wants. You know, I'm not like a paparazzi outside of his own. Like, it's just that, you know, Harvest Moon was an album about Peggy, and it was so beautiful. And
it
made us believe in that relationship so much that all of a sudden he just breaks it off like that, and we just have to assume that this is Neil's new girl, and she's so wonderful, and we have I think the lyrics also in this record are very less subtle than Harvest Moon, so they're very on the nose, and
He gets more and more like that through the years.
Yeah.
With his writing, it's. I mean, there is some sort of poetic stuff in here, but I think
there's some good lines in here for sure.
Yeah, there are absolutely. But I'm just saying, through the years, though, he gets more and more like, this is what I'm saying, you know, and it's
right. Well, it's less. It's less. Yeah. Did you say less poetic, Russ?
I said that there is poetry in it, but for the most part, it's not as poetic as he was, you know, beach or something, you know.
Right, he becomes more direct, at least in the issues that he's trying to tackle. Just, like living with war, he was more direct, and then here the environmental issues. He's, you know, there's like no metaphors.
Now, because Neil's been so direct, I think I need to be direct right now because Neil listens to this podcast avidly. We've proven that.
Sure.
So, Neil, I'm going to address you. You need to apologize to Joel because you hurt him when you left Peggy for Daryl. And if you don't apologize, he's not going to cross your name off his list like in Billy Madison. You think Joel has? You think Joel has a list in Billy Madison of people he wants to kill? Maybe.
Neil Young, Stephen Stills,
just like three Stephen Stills.
Yeah. There's
Bernie Fiedler, who ran the riverboat.
Yeah. Some character from King of the Hill.
Yeah.
What I will say, Joel, as far as you know, what you were talking about with the whole older dad getting divorced out of nowhere, and we have to take his side that this is true love and whatever, whatever. I think in I'm Glad I Found You, that like first line kind of to me speaks to what I think is where he's at. That whole like, so many people don't understand what it's like to be like me, but I'm not different from anyone else. I'm glad I found you, because I think it's one of those things of like, Daryl Hannah's been in the spotlight, in the, you know, celebrity light for a lot of her life. And, you know, it's not easy for her to just go outside and, you know, get a coffee or whatever without, like you said, paparazzi type of thing.
Right.
And now Neil's had whatever, you know, however many 50 years of the same type of thing. So now he's at this point in his life where it's like, oh, he's got this new relationship and they have this shared bond of being in that celebrity spotlight thing. So like, to me, that first line kind of is saying to fans and to people who think, well, it's a tricky thing because you're right. He has spent most of his career being like you said, with Harvest Moon, here's this beautiful love that I, you know, whatever, or just throughout his whole career, we've picked apart his lyrics and he's put it out there for us to, he's made it obvious in ways. And then in other ways it's poetic or whatever. But I think what he's kind of saying now is this is for me.
Yeah.
And it doesn't, I, you know, it's there isn't a way I can really explain it to all of you guys. You like, you kind of need to know that you don't know me. And also I'm the same as you. It's like one of those weird things where if you listen to someone for so long, you think you know them, but you've never met them.
Right, you don't really know them.
That's what I'm saying. And he doesn't own us anything.
And no, I'm not saying that you're saying that. I get what you're saying. It's just like a I bet you probably have a better understanding than any of us do because you were on the radio for so long. People, I mean, I can speak to it myself. Like Luke and I listen to your voice and we have this understanding. Oh, Shoe's on this radio station. This radio station to me means this because I worked with these type of guys who listen to this radio station. So in my mind, I already put that name. Mike Shoe
goes Mike Shoe is in Dan my Moshpit. Head. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, 100%. Like yes, yes, right, precisely. Right. Yeah, I thought
Which
you had
the I'd be proud to be like Dan Moshpit.
Right.
But it does. Yeah. It doesn't take long. Like my wife and me became huge Impractical Jokers fans like towards the beginning of the pandemic or like a couple years before. And then recently Joe, he's one of the Jokers, he got, like split up from his wife. And
that's right.
And me and Leanna talked about it for like 2 hours. And then after like finally, I'm like, wait a minute. We don't know them at all. We don't know
intricate details. Like that's what I mean. We, every single one of these people are people, you know,
they have a whole different life than what you see. Like,
And they take shits, you know, like they brush their teeth, hopefully, you know what I mean? Like that type of thing. That's all the little intricate, they sit and on a couch and like put on a show and think like, fuck, I should probably be doing something else. Right. You know what I mean? Like they do all the same shit that all of us do.
Russ, I don't think vampires defecate because they don't eat food.
That's actually, you got a good point.
But
what happens with all that blood? Does it just like...
It just nourishes their darkness inside of them. And the But I don't think they eat. So he probably hasn't really taken a shit
that's
in a long
true.
Time.
Just, that's a good
I don't want to get technical, but...
Hey, Darryl, yeah, you're I don't think I take a shit.
But you know what, Russ, I was thinking that line you were talking about, that it wasn't so much like I've met someone who kind of knows what it's like to live in public, but it's more like I'm just like everybody else I need to feel love. I need to feel belong. I feel love. I feel heartbreak. I feel stuff like everybody else does.
Yes.
And so I found this, you know, the love in his life was eroding and it was becoming bad.
Yeah.
And he was losing kind of, it sounds like in the lyrics, what I gather, he was losing hope. And then this new love renews that hope and a vision of life. And I think he's also saying that about the environmental issues, that things are bad.
Yeah.
But if we show our love to the planet, then things will have a better outlook.
Right.
We'll be more hopeful with the climate and, you know, with our future generations, our children, our grandchildren and stuff.
I want to revisit what you're saying there, Shu, when we get to who's going to stand up, because I want to get more in depth in the individual song of that.
Okay.
But what I will say as far as so to go back to that one article that I found on Thrasher's Wheat was it starts off by Neil saying, and I think this is in response to Mixed Pages. He says the Storytone records have been a labor of love, thanks to all of you who have purchased them. And then this is the part I really want to.
This is Neil saying this, Russ?
Yeah, he says these songs were written during a period of profound change in my life. Everything I want to share is there. And to me, that says it all, literally.
Right.
He's saying everything I want to share to you listeners, and thank you for being listeners, is here. It's in here.
Right.
It may not, again, like in that fucking Neil Mann way, it might not be your favorite fucking thing, but what I want to say to you through this medium, it's here. It's in
and
here.
I think despite what you think of this album or these songs or the way they sound, if you read the lyrics, there's no doubt that he's exposing himself here.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, he's being vulnerable Neil here.
Yes.
When he's not talking about the issue, like environmental issues on this album.
Right.
You know, and that's why we love Neil, because he's a raw nerve sometimes. He wears his heart on his sleeve. You know,
yes.
And he's definitely doing that with some of the lyrics on this
one album. More, Luke, I know you're about to say something. One more quick thing on that article. He goes on to talk about the actual, and you actually, I think, read from that, Luke, where he talks about the Wizard of Oz and the Barbra Streisand. But then towards the end of it, he says, this has been a complex experience. And as sometimes is the case, I have had trouble letting go. The solo versions have all the heart and soul, yet the orchestrated versions have the beauty and depth that these songs cried out for. And then, of course, in this part, he says, I listen and listen on my Pono.
Shameless self-promotion.
Finding the strengths, because again, I believe this article is in response to the Mixed Pages aspect.
Oh, okay.
He says, finding the strengths and weaknesses of both versions, unable to settle. After the record was handed in and finished, I continued working, trying to find balance between the two approaches I had used. And then he talks about Mixed Pages or whatever. So, but I think, again, that him admitting, yeah, this is complex and sometimes I just can't let go, you know, that's also a part of it. That's a part of what he wants to share, is that it's just as difficult for me as it
right.
is for all of you, you know?
Yeah.
So go ahead, Luke. Sorry.
No, well, I'm just kind of reading comments as they come in on our Facebook page, and Mario Boff just writes, what a mess. About
wow.
Oh, Jesus.
But also,
we just took 30 minutes to say those three words.
But
what a mess.
I don't even really agree with that, because I love the solo. I don't love it, but it's not, it's better than a lot of, I would go to this solo more than I would a lot of his other stuff. Definitely more than A Letter Home.
Oh. Yeah,
I'll re-listen. Exactly. I'll re-listen to some of this solo stuff and some of the mixed and the orchestra stuff. Not most of it, but some of it. I will re-listen to some that over Letter Home and some of the other stuff.
Plastic Flowers is a great fucking song. It's a very reminiscent of something off of Barn, that Don't Forget Love or whatever the last track off of Barn is. It starts off the same, but then it's not the same song. But oh shit, I forgot about this. Rest in peace, Meatloaf, guys.
Yeah, and fucking Louis Anderson.
Yeah, jeez.
Yeah, no shit.
Feels like
there's so many people dying now.
Every week now.
Can't even keep up with it.
And you know what I'm just realizing? This is the first episode where we actually took the first, whatever, however long we've been talking, and actually talked about Neil Young. And I think it's because Joel's here and we're trying to impress him.
We are. Russ switched his whole background. He used to have that poster, and now Russ has a pull-up bar and a guitar. He wants everyone to know that he fucking
Wait, what?
He wants the gun show to keep going, man.
What have I had? This has been my setup for... Oh, last time I had the Neil, I was in my living room. Also, Thich Nhat Hanh died.
Yeah, that's right. Thich Nhat Hanh, man. That guy was...
Who's that?
He was a...
He's like a monk.
Is he Vietnamese, Russ?
Vietnamese. Yeah.
He is very
amazing,
much
amazing spiritual teacher.
Someone who really opened people up to meditation.
Yeah.
Okay.
And something I practice, and I've read one of his books, and yeah, the guy is.
Yeah, I've listened to I've like listened to his, some of his talks and stuff. So he's great.
Yeah. All right. So there we go. We veered off like we usually do. You know, and
well, I'm just saying it just it feels like you're right. It feels like every other day now there's some fucking.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. 2022. Just ease up.
Yeah. Okay. We had here in Quebec, we had a singer songwriter who was found dead this week. He was it was kind of popular. He had a bunch of song on the radio, a popular song. And since the pandemic, nobody had seen him, and they found him dead on his studio floor.
Who's this?
His name was Karim Ouellet. He was a very good singer songwriter. I'm not a fan because it was a very pop, but. He probably killed himself in his studio just after 2 years of not doing shows, not doing anything. Yeah. He was 37 years old.
Oh man,
so, Jesus!
Yeah,
young.
All Quebec is in grief right now for him because he was kind of big deal, kind of a big deal. So.
Oh, that's so sad.
Yeah,
even though Canada is just like right to the north of us, there are so many artists that. They are huge up there that we, you know, like the Tragically Hip is the best example to me of a band that is like so huge, that was so huge in Canada and maybe made a scratch here in the US despite just being north of us.
Yeah.
You know, you never heard the Tragically Hip on the radio down here. You never heard anything like that. And they're such a great band. And, but yet it's like, at least where we are, you know, like, 5 hours away or 8 hours away, you know, Canada's right there.
It is kind of wild how so much just slips through the cracks because Canada is not far from us. At least
It's closer than New York sometimes.
It's just a few hours up the road. To get to
Montreal, it's quicker than going to Bangor, Luke.
Well, we were in Bangor. If we just went an hour more north, we would be in Canada.
No, it doesn't. It's not the same.
I'm not saying technically. I'm not being exact, Russ.
Yeah.
But. Actually, it's technically like
Mike, do you have any friends at Shamrock in Montreal, 97.7?
No, I don't.
This is the rock state, the classic rock station. It's been there like for 40 years.
Neil mentioned them in the Riverboat album, right? I mean, he said you may have heard this one on Shamrock. I forget what song it was, but he mentions them like even back in the, what was that? That was like 68? No, that was 69, 70 or something like that.
I'm not sure that this is the same one. I think they like us in Montreal, this is Shom with an O. Chom. And I think there was also a radio station in the 60s that was Chum.
Oh, okay.
So I'm not really sure. I'm just going to Google it quickly. But yes, this is kind of this is an institution in Montreal of classic rock and roll since the early 70s. They recorded shows by Genesis when they came here and the. They're cool guys. Yeah,
I miss that. I miss radio stations carrying entire concerts.
Yeah,
that used to happen all the time,
Mike,
all the
way up
through the 90s. It would happen in Boston. There were shows that like the war between BCN and AAF and FNX. You know, those people would fight to carry just entire live shows from clubs, like, you know, like the Paradise and stuff, not even the big arena shows, but from like clubs and stuff. It was really great. And I kind of missed that.
And we're here to say, Mike is here to say he's going to bring that back to the Pike.
I'm bringing
in
it
Worcester.
Back.
He's going to do the whole town meeting show this Saturday at Aeronaut Brewing. He's going to do the whole thing on the Pike.
This Saturday on the Pike HD5. So you have to have high def radio and at least 5 channels. All right.
That's right. That's right.
Joel, is that a Predator 2 poster?
Oh yeah.
2. You guys are obsessed with the second sequels of movies.
Why do you have that?
Predator 2 is a sick movie, man. This is.
We might have to watch that for a Patreon.
Well, we have to watch Back to the Future 2 first. And right. Then we'll go to Predator 2. I've never seen Predator 2.
You never seen Predator 2, man. This is. It's so violent and so gory. It's in the city. This is the continuation of the. Of the jungle, but it's the concrete jungle, and it's gang wars, and the predators come in between. That Danny Glover is a cop, okay. No nonsense cop, and he's chasing the predator. Man,
does he play Riggs?
I know, I'm too old for this shit.
Yeah. This is basically the same character.
That's amazing.
So it's just Predator That's 2, awesome. Lethal Weapon 3.
With aliens, right?
Joe Pesci's the alien.
He just curses us more because you know it's R-rated movie. Yeah,
it
awesome. Yeah.
It just sounds like the worst. It sounds like Jason Goes to Manhattan, which was arguably the worst Friday the 13th ever.
Hey, but Predator versus Alien, I gotta say, I enjoyed that immensely.
AVP, Alien versus Predator.
Did you really?
Yeah.
The other one was fucking terrible, though. The second one.
I didn't see this. There was a second one.
Yeah, it was bad, man. Really bad.
The one called Requiem, I think.
Requiem, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was bad. That was like all dark lit. Like you couldn't fucking see anything. Horrible. It was really bad. But AVP, I enjoy too. I like
this. This is good. We veered off of Neil. Now we're talking about something completely unrelated. So now we're back to normal.
Yes, I was getting worried. We were talking about way too much Neil. So
yeah, there was way too much Neil going on. Way too much. I also just love that you point out his poster and Joel goes, "Oh yeah,
yeah, of course, man. Stupid. That's the best one."
Yeah, Russ. He said it at like, "Wait, you guys don't have Predator 2 posters?"
Yeah, he's like looking around, like, "What?"
It's just like a Canadian thing. They all have them. Hey, right. Daryl, dust off my Predator 2 poster.
Yeah. Daryl, these guys like Predator 2 too. Were you in that one? We should do a mermaid versus predator.
Oh, shit.
I think Joel got a huge boner when you said that, Mike.
Sorry, I gotta veer us off again, but Luke, what do you think? I mean, Tom's got to be coming up soon, right? On Dead Eyes?
I don't know, man. I don't know.
That last episode was so good. Have you listened to Dead Eyes, Joel? That podcast? Oh, it's good.
No. Yeah. What is it?
Go ahead. Well, I'll give you the quick version because we got to get off this. But it's this kind of improv actor, small time, gets a role on that show Band of Brothers that came out like in the early 2000s about World War II.
Yeah, yeah.
But then, so he gets cast, but then right when his episode's about to come up, he gets fired by Tom Hanks because Tom Hanks says he has dead eyes.
Yeah, and then you talked about that there.
Yes, and it ruined him for 20 years, and then finally he just started making a podcast about it. And it's great, but the last episode he interviewed Colin Hanks. So it's it's great.
That's like us interviewing Astrid and right. Nils. You know, yeah, we're like right fucking there.
Bullock, he's never
coming on this fucking thing.
No
way.
All right, let's get back to Storytone, and I'll just you know, as you guys mentioned, he recorded the orchestral stuff, you know, in the same place they recorded the stuff for Wizard of Oz, and he used the same mic that Barbara Streisand uses. They recorded the big band stuff at this club that used to be a club. It was a studio now called East West. And the two guys he worked with on this, Chris Walden and Michael Bearden, are both big time Hollywood music writers, arrangers, producers. I mean, they are well entrenched in the Hollywood entertainment industry, which is kind of a theme as far as the production of this album goes. He was just going for big. He was going for that, and he got it, in my opinion, but he was going for this big sound. And so Chris Walden's worked with Michael Bublé and our favorite, Luke, Christopher Cross, and Diana Krall, and Paul Anka. More importantly, though, Chris Walden was the musical director for David Hasselhoff. So, seriously, after working with the Hoff, working with Neil is probably a walk in the park.
Wait, did the Hoff Hoff made music?
What, are you kidding me? He's the number one music artist in Germany.
What?
Yeah, man. He's like the Bruce Springsteen of Germany, and he's not even German.
That's like
better than Falco.
Isn't Jackie Chan like huge as a musical artist in China?
Did he make music?
I'm pretty sure.
Oh, I gotta look into
I'm pretty. I'll Google it while you keep talking about the record.
But Hasselhoff, yeah. So he worked with Hasselhoff. He's he also was a musical director for the Oscars and American Idol. So you're talking. He worked with these guys who are used to working with big productions. And then Michael Bearden has. He was the last musical director for Michael Jackson when he died.
I saw that. And right. Lady Gaga, too. Right?
And Lady Gaga. And he was the musical director for Lady Gaga's Super Bowl performance, which I thought was great.
Yeah, it was good.
It was really awesome.
She was one of the memorable ones.
Yeah.
So and then also Michael Jackson's Super Bowl might have been the best one, if I'm being honest.
Did he do the Super Bowl halftime?
He killed the Super Bowl.
Did he?
Halftime. And it was like before it was even like really a thing. Also, do you know you don't get paid for doing the Super Bowl halftime show?
No, you don't.
Isn't that wild?
I mean, well, it's because it's got 100 million viewers.
Right.
So you're kind of like, yeah, I'll do it to get my stuff. Like when The Weeknd did it, you know, The Weeknd, to me, when they said The Weeknd was doing the Super Bowl halftime show, I was like, why? He's nowhere near big enough as anybody should be doing the Super Bowl. But it was probably a big thing for him. But Michael Bearden also did the Oscars, the Emmys.
Yeah.
He did. He was the music director for Empire.
Okay.
He did both of Obama's inaugurations.
Wait, Obama made an album?
No. Yeah, man, it's fucking sick.
Number
it's
one in like Germany.
It's nothing. Yeah, right. It sounds just like Hasselhoff. And then Michael Bearden said this, that once Neil recorded with the orchestra, that Neil said, don't even touch it. There was no mixing involved. That he said Neil wanted it as is.
Wow.
So that sounds like Neil. It sounds like Briggs. Yeah, it actually sounds like something Neil learned from Briggs. You know, it's like, don't fucking play with it. Just put it out there. And so these two guys he worked with these orchestras and the big band, I mean, they were heavy hitters.
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah. Not to mention he had like big time session guys. Like I thought, you know, what's the song? What's the one you don't... here, hold on a second. Because I was really surprised by this.
Like you used to?
Like you used to?
Yeah, like you used to. That's Waddy Wattel playing the solos.
Is it really?
Yeah,
it's not Neil. Oh. That's like good friend of Danny Korchmar.
Yeah, we can't get away from the Cooch here, Mike.
That's the Wrecking Crew. He's not Wrecking Crew, but he was in that...
I don't think.
No, but it was like Wattel, Korchmar, Kunkel... Lee Sklar. It was that kind of like that whole Laurel Canyon, Jackson Brown band kind of thing.
This album, at least these versions, not the solo, like the actual album versions, Mike, they really, they hit on all your nerves because all the big band stuff seem to be related to Cooch, and then all the orchestra stuff has serious Nietzsche vibes to me. So
yes.
Oh, yeah. I wrote that Nietzsche would have been proud.
Nietzsche... I actually prefer Nietzsche to some of these.
Really?
Yeah.
Because Nietzsche is kind of like so over the top.
Well, and Nietzsche's responsible for Old Laughing Lady.
That's true. But as far as the orchestral stuff, Russ, you know, like Man Needs a Maid and There's a World, which I always say Jiminy Cricket could easily sing There's a World. And it would sound perfectly normal. It would actually sound more natural than Neil singing.
I texted you guys today. We were driving. I was driving my daughter back from somewhere. My 13-year-old, and I think it was Tumbleweed. Came on.
Oh my God! Yes. And I want to talk to you about this.
She said, literally, like legit, asking if it was Kermit the Frog singing.
So when my daughter was 13, she heard. I have this like I just put all of Neil's albums on one playlist, and I just throw that on and just it come whatever. And Tumbleweed came on when we were in the car, and that's when I think I told you guys this before. She was like, "Who's this?" And I said, "Neil Young." And she went, "Is Neil Young a Disney princess?"
That's
where I get the Disney princess thing from. My daughter said that. I was like, "Oh my God, it totally sounds like a fucking Disney theme song."
Yeah.
The old orchestral album sounds like a musical from beginning to end. Sounds like he's doing a play.
Yeah.
Right.
Even with the big band songs, he's like telling a story. He's talking about the blues, and he sounds like he's acting out a play.
Do you remember when I called Neil adorable?
Yes. Do you think, I can't forget that.
When he does stuff like this, I think he's giddy. I think that's the word for Neil. I think he's just giddy.
I think he wants to do shit that, like, he wants to do. He wants to have fun. He wants to do something that, you know, he wants to be surrounded by the 92 voices and the huge orchestra and the big band all playing, and he's singing into a Barbra Streisand mic.
Yeah, like, he's riding high.
He's giddy. He feels great. He's feeling good. He's got Daryl Hannah on the phone, you know? Like, he's
fucking giddy. Yeah. He's Giddy Lee.
Yeah.
Giddy Lee. He was very much in love. So this album is very, very positive.
The Daryl songs are very positive, and it's very, like, overblown romantic.
Yeah.
These are like old school, like I said, Sinatra, very romantic, like crooner almost, like, I got this girl and she's a real babe, you know, kind of thing. And
so also, sorry, shoot. Jackie Chan is a prolific singer.
Is he really? I never knew that. I gotta seek out that music now.
He started producing records in the early 80s because he was singing.
Holy shit, really?
He was singing the theme songs for, like, the closing credits of his films and stuff. And he became pretty popular.
Next patron episode, we cover two albums, a Jackie Chan album and a Hoff album, please.
Oh, my God. And we can I'm totally up for that.
We can do
we'll call it Rumble in the Hoff.
We can do a Joe Pesci album, too.
No, I don't want to do
shit,
that.
That's right.
I don't want to do that.
All right.
Let's see. That's all I pretty have on the background of the actual recording. He also loved not having to play an instrument while he was singing the orchestral stuff and the big band stuff.
Cool. The big band
stuff.
He loved
that. Too. He said it gave him more of a freedom and a totally different kind of feel. He said it was one of the most different things he's ever done in his life. So, I bet he was giddy, Russ. I bet he was just, like, was giggling Luke. The whole time. And
you see him in the movie. He's even wearing sunglasses between.
Yeah.
In, like, four songs. But...
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's living it, man. Yeah. He's owning it.
Before we get into song by song here, and this is really dumb but I wrote this down. But it's perfect for this podcast and how stupid this podcast is. Because he recorded in the same studio as The Wizard of Oz, I was curious if you guys had the same answer as me to this question. If Neil was in The Wizard of Oz, who would he be?
That's a good one.
Cowardly Lion.
Okay, Mike.
That's a tough one. Neil would be the Scarecrow, but Crazy Horse would be the Flying Monkeys. Absolutely. Crazy Horse is so Flying Monkeys. I mean, Ralphie and Billy and Poncho and even Danny.
No, he's not the he's not the Cowardly Lion.
He is the Cowardly Lion though, Russ.
Really?
I don't know, man. He's more Scarecrow.
He looks like the Cowardly Lion, but maybe he acts like the Scarecrow.
Actually, I can kind of see him as all of them in a way, man. Like, think about the Tin Man and the cars, and that he's got to oil himself up and, like.
Me, I think it's the Tin Man. He's looking for a heart. He's looking for a heart of gold.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Right. And he's definitely good. Dorothy.
Yeah. And he is the wizard.
That's what I'm saying. He's fucking. Wow, dude. We're getting too close to cracking the code here. We got to calm down. We got to calm the fuck down.
This is interesting. I don't know if you guys knew this. If you start landing on water right when the lion roars for the Wizard of Oz, it sinks perfectly. I mean, Hard Luck Stories is totally like they're in the poppy field, you know? It's fucking amazing. You guys should try
that. I'm pretty sure Cooch is that fucking angry tree that throws apples at him.
Yes! Holy shit. Hey, Dorothy!
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Dorothy, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
Yeah. Emmy Lou Harris is the good witch, Glenda.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Course, we can't say anything bad about Emmy Lou.
Who's the bad witch?
Oh, that's a good one.
Stills.
Yes, the bad witch.
Absolutely, Stills. Crosby is the Cowardly Lion.
Yeah, absolutely.
Come here, my pretties. I'm going to make love to you.
There it is. There's the Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young reference for this episode.
All right.
Drink. Everybody drink. All right.
Shit. I want to try to remember to do this. The album cover, each version is some painting of the Link Folds.
He did that.
By him,
Him and his Linkfold, right?
Are they different? The different versions? They're different albums.
Yeah, the mixed pages. The mixed pages
is like faded.
Oh, okay.
It's like the side view.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'll show you. I mean, not that this matters for. That's mixed pages.
Oh,
that's
right. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Which that's I think I like better. I actually like that one better. I like the mixed pages one more.
All right. We should start.
Yeah, we should. But I gotta pee, so can we take a quick
take a little break? Pee break.
Cool. Yeah. I'm gonna real quick just refill my glass. I'll be right back.
All right.
One morning in June, some 20 years ago, I was born a rich man's son. I had everything that money could buy, but freedom I had none.
Yeah, tell him, Hasselhoff. Hey, we're going to stop it right there. That seems like a good natural breaking point. We're having a ton of fun with Joel in this episode. It continues on. So the next episode will be part two of Storytone with Joel. Please check out our Facebook page, facebook.com/longmayyouyoung. Check out our website, longmayyouyoungpodcast.com. And, you know, check out, like, we're on Instagram, we're on Reddit, we're all over the place. But, you know, find us, interact with us, and we'll finish up the Storytone saga on the next episode. Thanks for listening. Catch you then. Bye.
Nothing else for you here, policeman. Time to go.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.